Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, introduction, and that's ought to move our hearts. Because here, can you imagine that the Creator of the universe was willing to become a man, and yet he postponed his future becoming king of Israel and over the nations of the world, and he was willing to become a servant. In Hebrew, we call him Eved Adonai, the servant of the Lord. Mark is presenting before us the fact that Yeshua became a servant. Mesharet, or Eved. You know, we don't like to serve many times. We like to be served. But here is one who should be served, who became a servant of us all, in that he came for the express purpose to become the Savior of the world. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42, the prophet that prophesied to our nation Israel some 750 years before Yeshua the Messiah came. Isaiah said in chapter 42, listen to that, how the whole 42nd chapter began. God says to Israel, presenting before our own nation Israel the Messiah, and he said to the nation of Israel, "Behold my servant." In Hebrew, "Hine avdi." Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Mine elect, I've chosen him. He's my sole delight. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring justice to the Gentiles, to the Goyim. And of course, he continued to speak about this wonderful person who is the servant of the Lord, the servant of Jehovah. Notice in chapter 49 of the prophet Isaiah, one more verse to read. In verses 5 and 6, he said, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from my womb." This is the servant speaking. As a man who is a servant, the Messiah, Yeshua, is speaking, and he said, "And now says the Lord that formed me from my womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again unto him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Jehovah, in the eyes of the Lord. And my God shall be my strength." Notice verse 6, and he said, "It is a light thing that thou should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, or Lagoyim, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth." So, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob spoke to the nation, to our own people, Israel, many, many years ago, 2,700 years ago, telling to Isaiah to tell Israel that there is a servant who is coming. And that servant is not going to only deal with the nation of Israel, but he's going to be light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. In other words, the purpose and the reason that Yeshua the Messiah came is in order to bring salvation, Yeshua. "And you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save," Yoshia, "he will save his people from their sins." And so, beloved brothers and sisters, as we look together to the Gospel of Mark, or to the presentation of this man by the name of Mark, of the person of Yeshua, we realize that God does not repeat himself. God is not saying things again and again, you might say, without a reason for that. But God is presenting the Mashiach, the Messiah, Yeshua himself, from four different, you might say, points of outlook. He is God, He is a perfect man, He is the King of Israel, and He is the servant of the Lord. And you know why it is important to study about the servant of the Lord? You know why? Because all of us in service failed. Even Moses will tell you, God, I have failed. Even Paul will say, I have failed. I sought to live godly, I sought to be faithful, but I have failed. But there is one man that never failed. His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua, who was born and honored God from his birth until his resurrection and ascension. He honored God in everything that he did here on earth. So now, after giving this kind of by way of introduction, I want to kind of share with you a little bit about this man by the name of Mark. Who is this man by the name of Mark? This man, in fact, I would like you please to turn with me to Acts chapter 12. This man that wrote the book of Mark, his name is Marcos. He was a Jewish Israeli man who lived in the city of Jerusalem. We find his name first mentioned in the book of Acts in chapter 12. If you please turn with me to this passage. I thought it is very important to tell us a little bit about the writer. I mean, the writer, write a gospel, you might say, a perspective about Yeshua the Messiah by divine inspiration. But who is this person? Well, we find out, notice that in Acts chapter 12, if you remember that Peter was placed in prison. And when Peter was placed in prison, the local assembly, congregation, Kehillah, the local church, we might say, ecclesia in Israel, in Jerusalem, was found in the house of Mark's mother. Notice, it says in Acts chapter 12, it says here, and when he had considered the thing, he came unto the house of Miriam, notice, Mary or Miriam, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So we find out that this boy or young man, his name is Mark, but in Hebrew his name was also Yohanan, John Mark, Yohanan Marcos in Hebrew. He was a person that his mother lived in Jerusalem, and apparently, notice if you're just passing this, that we find out that in the house of Miriam, apparently they gathered together, notice it, 12b at the end, where many were gathered together for prayer, to pray. So the whole local assembly in the city of Jerusalem, I kind of sometimes wonder if I would have liked to be there, because that's where I was born and raised, and my father was born and raised, and my grandfather came from the diaspora and lived in Jerusalem. I would have loved to be in the local assembly in Jerusalem in the house of Miriam, the mother of Yohanan Marcos, John Mark. The brothers and sisters gathered together and they were praying. They were praying that God will lead them on. They were also praying for Simon Peter, for Shimon Petros, who was in jail, in prison. But somehow, if you remember, Peter was in prison. The angel came and loosed him. Peter was sleeping, of course, if you remember. The angel of the Lord came upon him in verse 7 of Acts chapter 12. And Peter's chain fell, and the angel led him out, and he brought him to the gate where the brothers and sisters there were praying, to the gate of the house of Miriam, the mother of John Mark, Yohanan Marcos. And of course, Peter knocked on the door, and you remember the story, how the brethren did not even believe that he was alive, that he came out of prison. You know, you remember, we find out a little bit later here that when the lady came and they said, hey, Peter is here, Peter, and they told her in verse 15, they said to him, you are mad. You know, sometimes when we pray, we don't even believe that God will give us an answer. We pray, oh Lord, help this person to come out of this. Oh Lord, help. No, but when the time comes and God gives an answer, they told her, oh, you are mad, you are crazy. It's not possible that Peter came out of prison. And yet, John Mark lived in the home with his mother. He must have been influenced by the brothers and sisters in the early local assembly. Peter apparently must have had a lot of influence upon this man, this young man by the name of John Mark, the one that gave us this Gospel of Mark, which we have introduction today. But not only this, beloved brothers and sisters, not only that he must have became a believer there in Jerusalem, after the resurrection, of course, of the Messiah, the assembly was born in the land of Israel, and Mark was one of those individuals that began to be a servant alongside the apostle Shaul, Paul, and Barnabas. If you turn now to verse 25, a little bit further in this chapter, notice what it says. It says, "And Barnabas and Shaul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, Yohanan, whose surname was Mark." So imagine, it must be a real privilege for John Mark to be under the umbrella of such a godly people as Shaul, Paul, and Barnabas, who were serving the Lord. In fact, we learn from this passage that John Mark have served with Paul and Barnabas in the first missionary journey. But something happened. As they are traveling in their first missionary journey, sharing the gospel, some hard time comes along. And this hard time that came along, we actually don't know the exact reason, but John Mark left to go back home. In fact, turn with me to chapter 13 of the book of Acts. It says here in verse 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem," to Jerusalem. We don't have the reason for that, but can you imagine if you are traveling with Shaul, Paul, and with all those who serve the Lord, traveling from place to place, apparently here they are loose, they are taking ship, they had the shipwrecks, they had all kind of experiences, and so on. And maybe Mark kind of got the cold feet, we don't know. But it may be that he was kind of maybe homesick. We don't really know. We cannot accuse him with anything. We know our own hearts, how many times we get discouraged from the way when we are a little bit serving the Lord. We get disappointed and discouraged and we say, what's the use? I'm going back home. And apparently what happened, John Mark, verse 13 of chapter 13, departing from them, and he returned back to Jerusalem, back to his home. We find him earlier, if you remember in chapter 12, he lived with his mother in the city of Jerusalem, and there he was with the assembly in the city of Jerusalem, and we just can imagine him departing from the mission field and returning to his own home. I heard many times of those that have been so discouraged in the mission field and that they say, I cannot continue anymore, I'm going back home. Too much pressure, too much opposition. You can never satisfy everyone. Always problems, always challenges. This is part of the ministry if we are going to serve the Lord. But apparently, Yohanan Marcos returned back to the city of Jerusalem. Whatever the reason may be, we know from the next verses I would like you to see that Paul was not happy with that. If you turn now to Acts chapter 15, and I want to read verses 36 to verse 40. Notice that. It says in verse 36, "And some days after," now in preparation for the second missionary journey, "Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.' So Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname is Mark. But Paul," listen to this, beloved brothers and sisters, "but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." You see, we get a little hint here that maybe John Mark should have not gone back because apparently he left the ministry right in the middle of the ministry. And Paul was not happy with it, so that's why when they were going to move along to the second visits to the all local assemblies in Asia Minor, and Barnabas wanted to take Marcus with them, Paul says, no. No, I don't want him to come along with us, because he departed from us when we were in Pamphylia, and he went not with them for the work. And apparently that brought about contention between Shaul Paul and Barnabas. This is Barnabas. And apparently there was a friction. You know how it is. Many times there are friction among believers. You know, here's two godly men. And apparently in verse 39 he said the contention was too sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. Barnabas took Mark and he sailed to Cyprus, and then Shaul Paul took Silas, and he departed, being commended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So apparently, brothers and sisters, you see, already in early days, there was contention between godly men. Shaul Paul was a man of God. Barnabas b'Ivrit, in Hebrew, he was a man of God, but apparently they kind of separated and went along, each one as the Lord led them. But Barnabas took Mark, John, Yohanan Mark, and Paul took Silas. Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus for the ministry, and Paul and Silas went to Asia Minor to visit the assemblies there in Antioch and other areas where the local churches, local assemblies were born. Now, I want you to notice that it's not the end. Because even though maybe Mark have not been right in going back home, apparently we learn, and I would like you to turn to the book of Colossians for a moment. It may be a family reason why Barnabas took him, because when you read in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, you find out that John Mark, Yohanan Marcos, was actually a relative of Barnabas. In fact, Barnabas was his uncle. We read in chapter 4 of Colossians and verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you, and Marcus, listen to this, Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. You notice now that we learned that Marcus was the son of Barnabas' sister. And who was Barnabas' sister? Miriam, in the city of Jerusalem. And so apparently, you see, there was a contention between Shaul Paul and Barnabas. Should we take Mark to the ministry or should we not? Paul says, no, he left us, he went back, he must not be qualified for the ministry. Barnabas says, I'll take him. He took Marcos. They went to Cyprus while Paul and Silas went back to Asia Minor. So Marcus, it's amazing to see, to learn a little bit about the story of the life of this young man. In fact, brothers and sisters, not to leave it on a not so positive note, we find out that apparently when he returned back to Jerusalem, Mark or Yohanan Marcos, John Marcos, was serving among the Jewish community with Shimon Petros, with Simon Peter. In fact, now one more verse, please. Notice what it says there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13. Look what he says. Peter is writing. He says, the assembly that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salute you. And then look what he adds. And so does Marcus, my son. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, you see, apparently, when John Mark went back home to Jerusalem, while time passes by, he was serving the Lord with Peter, Shimon Petros. And he went with him to Babylon, where there was a large Jewish community. And there he ministered with Shimon Peter, Simon Peter, among the Jewish people, our own Jewish people, and Peter called him my son. Now, of course, he was not his son in the flesh, but he was his son in the Messiah, in the Lord. Just like Paul called Timothy my son, he was his son in the faith. He perhaps led him to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, just like maybe Peter have led him to the knowledge of Yeshua, the Messiah, where eventually Marcus, John Mark's family, hosted the local congregation in the city of Jerusalem. Interesting. And how commendable to see that even though he had, you might say, mistakenly left the field and went back home to Jerusalem, yet he served with Shimon Petros in Jerusalem, eventually went to Babylon, where Simon Peter had been there, and there he shared with him in a ministry that Peter can say, greeting to you from Babylon, but also not only me, but also Marcos. But he had the word, my son, Bni, Haben Shili. He was his son in the Messiah, in the faith, in our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. But there's another highlight here, beloved brothers and sisters. Not only that he was, in a sense, restored, and he continued to serve in Jerusalem and ultimately even in Babylon with Simon Peter, but later on, at the end, you might say, the last while of the life of the Apostle Paul, look what Paul is saying about Marcos. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 now. And there you notice what Shaul Paul is saying about this man, John Mark, Yohanan Marcos. Look what Paul is saying. Very commendable when you think about it. Paul was alone in Rome. He must have been discouraged because notice what he says in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight, verse 7. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth they are laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And he continued in verse 9, do thou diligent to come shortly unto me, he says to Timothy. Timothy, come quickly unto me. He's in prison in Rome. They're soon going to kill this apostle. Then in verse 10 he said, Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cyrenes to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Luke is the one who wrote the Gospel of Luke, the doctor, the physician. At the end of verse 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's now speaking about Mark, the very one that left them in chapter 12 and 13 of the book of Acts. Now there at the end of his life, you might say, when he was so much alone, look what he said about Mark to Timothy. He says, take Mark and bring him with you, with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. Now I think it's so precious. Earlier, when Mark should have been with Paul and Barnabas, he left the ministry and gone back to his home in Jerusalem. But now Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, I've heard much about this man by the name of Mark now. I realize, he's speaking now much later on, saying, listen, everybody left. Timas forsaken me. Cyrenes went to Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. And Luke is the only one is with me. Please, you might say, take with you Mark. Bring him to here, that he will be with me because he is profitable for me for the ministry. It must have been warming up the heart of this man by the name of Mark, who now is desired by the Apostle Paul to come to him in order that he will minister to Paul, encouraging him while he is in Rome all alone, and be a servant with him there wherever the Lord will give them an opportunity. This is to me very refreshing, to know a little bit of the background of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, of which we are going to begin our study. And therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, the date which the Gospel of Mark was written is sometime between 56 to 63 AD. We don't have an exact date. But we do understand from some records that it's somewhere there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke was written. The Gospel of John was written much later by the Apostle John in about the year 90 or so. But the three Gospels that we have, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, was written sometime at about 56 to 63 AD. Now, you know that by that time, there were already written some letters like 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians were already recorded. But the Gospel of Mark was not yet written. In fact, the Gospels, the four Gospels, were written after some letters by the Apostle Paul were already written. And so God wanted to give Israel and to give the whole world the record of his Messiah to be recorded. So he gave us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Fourfold record of the person and the life of the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who was the eternal Son of God, John, Yohanan, who was a perfect man, Lucas, who was the king of the Jews, Matityahu, Matthew, who was the servant of the Lord, Yohanan, Marcus, John, Mark, of which we are studying right now.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.